peace, and he left us peace, and he gave it to us in a certain kind of way. You know, we still serve a very certain God, a very certain God, the one that supplies all of our needs, not according to our riches, but according to his riches and his glory. And it says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. The world will give you something, and it'll take it back. The world will tell you you're great one day and awful the next day. The world will do all sorts of things to you, but God will never do you like the world has done you. That's why when we play with the world, that's just like the biggest slap in God's face. Because, see, God doesn't do you the way that the world does. So he says, I didn't give to you the way that the world does. And then he gives us the command, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Your heart can only be troubled if you let it. Your heart can only be troubled if you let it. Now, we're going to go over some things that cause us inner turmoil, because God has come that we'd have an inner peace. An inner peace. What I have had to exercise doing here lately is stop allowing the peace stealers in my life to have an access in my life. Now, you know, the word says, do not give the devil a foothold. The devil's looking for a place in your life. He's looking for that. He's looking for one crack, one little open door, one little whatever. And what we have to do when we feel that lack of peace is we have to look in our soul and we have to say, you know, what is stealing my peace? What is getting me going? You know, there's people, I've been one of them at times, that there's those situations, there's those things that happen, there's those incidents, there's those hurt feelings, there's those grudges. And by golly, we may not remember what we ate last night, but we will remember just what they said 10 years ago. We will remember what they were wearing when they said it. We will remember where we were. We will remember all of the details. And let me tell you something. If your memory is that great, you need to get into the Word and start memorizing Scripture instead of holding on to those details of that grudge. Because, see, God has come that you would have life and have it in abundance. And if you have no peace, you're not going to enjoy anything about your life. Not one thing can you enjoy if you have a lack of peace. So he says here, do not let your hearts be troubled. You know what I've had to do, Miss Sherry? I've had to say, I'm going to stop being troubled about this, and I'm going to shut off every single access to this that's making me troubled. It's done. You know, when your nose bleeds, there were patients, I was in the medical field for many, many years, and there was a time where if you kept having some issues with certain types of things, they would just go in and they would cauterize that area, and it would stop that. Sometimes you need to shut off the valve of the trouble that you're having. If you're the trouble that you're having, you need to shut yourself off and you need to say, you're a troublemaker self and you're going to stop making trouble for us. Sometimes I tell me and all four or five of my personalities, we're going to get together and we're going to behave today. If you're a woman, you should understand that. The only one that probably doesn't is Sister Millie. She's really just got one personality. I'm not sure where I came from. Dad's going, no, she don't. But we all know, right? You can turn into Jekyll and Mr. Hyde real quick. I mean, I can. You talk about my kids, we'll be there in a minute at the most, at the very most. So peace is like a gift certificate that never expires, and he left it to you and he gave it to you. Now let's talk about some of the things that steal our inner peace. One of the things that I wrote down is I'm at war within myself when I allow my mind to live in the chaos that is this life. When I get in an inner battle with myself, it's because I've allowed my mind to go into chaos. If you walk out your front door, you're going to walk into chaos. Sometimes all you got to do is let your kids know that you're awake and you've already gotten chaos. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. How do we keep an inner peace? a lot of that has to do with what you allow your mind to think and to stay on. What you allow your mind to think and stay on. I don't know about y'all, but I've had days where God intended for me to have a good day, but I just wasn't having it. What did I do? Well, I just allowed myself to think the wrong things too much, get me in a bad mood. How many of you can get yourself in a bad mood? You don't need any help. Amen. How many of you can argue with another person in your inside of your head? How many of you can rehearse yourself doing that? Oh, if they say this, I'm going to say that. When they make this facial expression, here's the one I'm going to make. Oh, when my husband does this, I'm going to have that comeback. Oh, when that coworker does that one more time, that's it. You're probably not a very peaceful person. Amen? Unfortunately, I've been all of those things. But I'm tired, Miss Rita, of not being well in that area. I'm tired of feeling that inner turmoil because there's a lack of peace there. So one of the things that is a peace stiller is when you allow your mind to be in the gutter, when you allow yourself to think thoughts, when you allow yourself to stay in that place. You know, for some of us, we're concerned about the future. We're concerned about the future. Well, what will happen if this happens? Well, if this person does this, and how is that going to affect me? Well, what's going to happen with my job? What's going to happen with my life? What's going to happen with my property? What's going to happen in my family? What's going to... And see, and a lot of the times we have a lack of peace because we are so consumed by worry and fear about the future that we can't have a good day. Even if God says, I'm going to give you a great day, we just ain't going to have that because we want to dwell in the worries for tomorrow. We can't do that. That's going to steal your peace. How many of you know that if you wanted to, you can focus on worrying for the rest of your life? You could worry. You could worry for the rest of eternity if you wanted to. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I'm going to read it one more time. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So here's a picture of what that looks like. You can be trying to have a good day, trying to get along with the thing that God told you to do, and all of a sudden, you have some thought pop into your head. And then it gets down in here. Now you have a choice. You're going to either dismiss that thought and choose peace, or you're going to dwell on that thought. And how the rest of your day goes depends on how you handled that situation. If you have a thought of worry and you let it get in there and steal your peace and you don't dismiss it, you're going to dwell on that. There's been lots of times, Michelle, where I've had to say, here comes the pop in my head, the little pea brain thought. And I've had to say, yes, that is a concern of mine, but I'm not going to dwell on it. Yes, that is a concern of mine, but I'm not going to dwell on it. God, I'm going to try to keep my mind on you. Then, if that ain't helping me, then I try to recall, Brother Paul, all the times that God came through. Guess what? I've never been able to come up with a time where he didn't. I've been able to come up with lots of times where he did it in an unordinary way, in a unique way, in a way that I did not expect. But nonetheless, he came through right on time. So we have to be able to keep our mind fixed on God. What are the characteristics of God? Well, he never fails. He never fails. He's never late. He gives us what we need. He gives us most of what we want. Let's go now to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And we're talking about our mind because the first place that you lose your peace is in your mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit," everybody say spirit, "of fear." So we see here where the word calls out fear, and it calls it a spirit. And then it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. That's what he gave us. So we read in John chapter 14 and verse 27 that he gave us peace. He gave it to us and he left us peace. Now we're reading some of the other things that he gives us, Alyssa, and he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. A lot of reasons why we don't have an inner peace is because we have forfeited the spirit of power. You know, the word says that you can declare a thing and it can happen. The word says have dominion. The word says call it by faith. See, there's so many things that the power of life and death is in your tongue. See, you have power. You have authority. But have you used it? Have you taken it and said, that's mine? See, a lot of times what your situation needs is for you to stand up and just say, you know what? I'm not going to have this stress in my life anymore. This, and this is causing that peace to be stolen from me. And so, by golly, that is done. God didn't give you fear, so stop taking fear. How many of you like buffets? Oh, my gosh. I saw somebody yesterday post on Facebook, any good buffets in Fort Smith. I thought, that is my kind of person. There is nothing better than a good buffet. Now, I don't get my money's worth when I go there, but I still enjoy it. And let me tell you, during COVID, COVID put a squash on buffets. And the only thing I could do was go to Sonic every single day, like three times a day. But there was one buffet that was open, and Dad and I went there a couple of times, and guess what it was? The Golden Corral. And that buffet is awesome. Put your little gloves on, get what you want. Now, if you're like Frank here, I mean, first thing I go for at a buffet is just their salad, which is totally frustrating to people. Yes, I'm weird. He always says, don't fill up on salad at this $20 buffet. I'm going to get the salad first. And if you tell me not to, I'm going to get another one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm awful. I'm just terrible. So you have to be, I know, just be glad you're not married to me. It is awful. So God hasn't given you fear. A lot of what steals our peace is fear. But see, that fear didn't come from God. God gave you resolve. He gave you an answer to your prayers. He's always solving your problems. But he gave us power and he gave us love. You know, a lot of times our inner peace, and I'm going to touch on this, our inner peace is destroyed because we just absolutely will not love people. Ugh. A lot of times our inner peace, Miss Tierney, is when we just won't love people. There is something about turning the other cheek that makes me want to just go berserk. I can only do that for so long, right? And then I want to have that inner two-year-old come out and just throw a fit. When you want to throw a fit the most, that's when you should love the most. I failed miserably in that area many, many times. But a lot of times our inner peace is stolen because we will not just love people. We won't love people past what they're going through. A lot of times when people are bad to you or when they're awful to you, when they're mean to you, when they're criticizing of you, the problem really isn't you. The problem, most of the time, what I have found, Brother Larry, is when you really turn back the curtain and you look at why they were so mean to you or why they were whatever of you, many, many times it's because they are having a problem in their life and it has nothing to do with you. And we take it and we internalize that and therefore have no inner peace. a lot of why you're upset with other people, because you think they've done something to you. They probably did do something to you, but it's because they had some things going on with themselves. Have you ever been mean to your spouse and you thought, you got home at night and you're like, oh, why did I do that? I wasn't even really mad at them. It was just that other person or that other thing. See, other people can do that to us also. A lot of my inner peace that I have forfeited up is because I couldn't just love people past their actions. Because I could not love people past their actions. So we need to accept the power, the love, and the sound mind. One of your biggest peace stealers is whatever you let your mind wander to. Whatever you let your mind go to. The first place you're losing your peace is in your mind. Then it's going right down to your heart, right in your soul. Don't let something get to you so bad where you can't even laugh at life. Life is funny, people are quirky, and things happen. Life is funny, things happen. People show their butts sometimes, and sometimes you do. We all do. We have to learn how to have that inner peace. God gave it to us. He left it to us. We have to accept it. On to my next thought. I'm at war with myself when I feel like I have to defend myself. That's a big one. I get at war with myself and lose my inner peace when I feel I have to defend myself. How many of you like to defend yourself? How many of you have ever just felt the Holy Spirit just put his hand over your mouth? Here's what I've been doing lately. I'm saying it. I know it's a sin, God, and I'm still doing it. Guess what happens? God's going to have to deal with you. Keep the Holy Spirit's hand over your mouth. Guard your tongue. Because there's things that you can't unsay. And you got to live with them once they're out. I'm at war with myself when I feel I have to defend myself. And I want to tell you something. You don't have to defend yourself. Should you let everybody walk all over you? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying at the end of the day, if you are a walking, talking child of God, blood bought, child of the Most High God, you do not have to defend yourself. He will defend you. He will rectify you. He will defend you. He will protect you. He will have your back. We get so caught up in defending ourselves. It's silly. But yet I'll probably do it tomorrow. We're all people. Let's go to Psalms chapter 62. We're going to look at verse 5 through 8. I'm ministering today on inner peace. We lose inner peace when we try to constantly defend ourselves, when we have to constantly defend our actions. I know leaders. And every time someone questions them, they just lose all their business. And then they will spend the rest of the day trying to defend whatever they did. They don't have to defend it. They're the leader. They just have to stand behind it. Psalms chapter 62, we're going to start at verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. A lot of the reasons why we don't have inner peace is we're burning it at both ends of the candlestick. And God is saying, find rest, O my soul. But look here, you're only going to find it in Christ. You're only going to find it in Christ. If you've had a loss of inner peace, you're only getting that inner peace back in your soul with Christ. So many people, they'll say, I'm going to do this, this, and this for the Lord. Well, guess what goes first? That, and that they were going to do. You're only finding peace in him. You're only finding rest in Him. This past Monday, we have delivered food to the senior citizens on every holiday. The first 3 years that we did, we're on our fourth year, the first 3 years that we did the food senior citizen meals every holiday, and I don't regret that. I think that it's wonderful. I'm glad we do it. But this particular one, Martin Luther King Day, my kids were out of school, and God just dropped it in my spirit. Take a break. Take some rest. The senior citizens will be okay for one Monday. Your children are only going to be little one time. Well, guess what? I went on and I had a wonderful day with those little brats. And I don't regret it. You're going to find rest in Christ and in Him alone. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defender. I will not be shaken. A lot of times when we have to defend ourselves, the first thing to go is our peace, because we're on the defensive. We feel like we have to answer to whoever's our accuser. A lot of the times it's Satan. It's either Satan or Satan working through people to accuse you, to criticize you, to judge you. Sometimes he'll even talk your own self to get on to your own self. But He is your defender. He is your defender. I've found myself lately just saying this, God, I'm going to just shut up. I have no other game plan but, Lord, just to shut up. I'm going to just be quiet. I'm stopping this. How many of you know that if me and Brother Gary, we get into it, there's a possibility he may be just as hard-headed as I am, and we could go on and neither one of us have no peace. Your mom is behind you talking a little bit of smack. But you know what? You can get into it with certain types of people, and it will never end. And you will never have any peace. Sometimes you can get into it with Satan. Oh, it ain't going to work out. It's just not going to work out. This is it. This is awful. This is the worst thing ever. This is going to end up awful. And you just keep on going. You just keep on going. Look here, you can't win that way. You can't win that way. You can't have victory doing that. You have to just say, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to stop. Lord, I'm not going to say not one more thing about this situation. It's over. I told somebody the other day, somebody I love very much, right now, I'm not in a season where I need to hear so-and-so's name. Do not bring their name up to me anymore. Why? I'm trying to get my peace back. Your peace is more valuable than anything you could ever buy yourself at Walmart or anywhere else. If you are a child of God, do not give your peace up. Keep your peace. If that means you got to put yourself in time out for a season, do that. Because God wants you to keep your peace. And He wants you to have that inner peace. So it says here, trust in Him at all times, O people. A lot of times we don't have peace in our heart because we ain't trusting God. I have found myself lately saying, you know what, God, I have no idea how such and such is going to work out. The only option I'm going to do, the only thing I need to do is just trust you with it. You know, sometimes things in life, they don't look good. Sometimes your situation looks like you're defeated. Sometimes it looks like you're going to fail at something. Sometimes you just need to get on Facebook and realize not everything is what it looks like. Stop looking at it in the natural realm and just say, God, I trust you with it. God, I don't know what's going to happen with this situation, but God, I trust you with it. When you start having doubt, take that thought of doubt, take it captive and say, you know what? In Jesus' name, that thought that I'm going to fail, that thought that I don't have enough, that thought that I can't pay all my bills, I take that thought captive. And right now, I just decide to pour the blood of Jesus over all of those thoughts right now in Jesus' name. That's how you take those thoughts captive. You get them, and you get a hold of them, and you give them a talking to, and then you dismiss them, and you get them out of your head. Because your head will come up with some stuff, and your heart sure will. That's why the Word says, your heart is deceitful, and above all, who can know it? Who can know your heart? Nobody, not even you. There's things I had in my heart 5 years ago. They ain't in my heart no more. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Sam. I'll take it. So it says, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Sometimes we have poured out our hearts to all the wrong people, to all the wrong things, to all the wrong places. And God's saying, you want your inner peace back? Start pouring yourself out to me. When you want to cry, when you want to have a moment, when you feel discouraged, when you feel weary, pour all of that out to the Lord. Don't call your mama. Don't call your family. Don't call your best friend. Call God. Call Him first. Call Him first. People say here lately, we never took you for a country girl. Look here, my roots are country. One of my youngest pictures of me in a white diaper and a pink shirt sitting in the mud puddle with bleached blonde hair. Isn't that right, Mom? I will give my mom a lot of credit because most parents that would have had me would have been like, I cannot take this kid. She is just like, oh. My mother never tried to make me anybody else. She never tried to say, be like your sister. She never tried to do any of that stuff to me. She allowed me to be who I was going to be. And that's a big reason why I've been able to do a lot of the successful things that I've been able to do is because I had a mom that believed that it's okay to have a kid that's just a little different.
Amen.
Amen. So if you've got one of those kids, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. You may have gray hair at the end of that deal, but you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. So let's go now to Matthew chapter 16. And I wrote down another point. You know, my biggest goal when I minister, it's to not give you a bunch of theology, Bobby. Because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but my mind doesn't work that way. But what I can do is just give you how to live. What do I do when I get aggravated with somebody? What do I do when this happens in my life? That's my niche. And so I try to stay in that. And today, I'm ministering about inner peace. Inner peace. And I wrote down here, I'm at war with myself when I believe that I'm actually wrestling with a person instead of realizing that I'm wrestling with a spirit, a Satan, a devil. You know, Alyssa, when we really get into it with people, what we have to realize is we ain't wrestling against that person. There's a spirit involved. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 21 through 23. And I'm going to tell this story about my dad because there's things that people with a great anointing, they can put into your life, the simplest things that will make the biggest difference. When I used to work for him, we were driving down the road, and we were passing Morrison Bluff, and we were passing that gas station. We were about to get on the Clarksville Bridge. And if you've ever been around me or Brother Angelo any length of time, you know if we're in a bad mood, because we cannot hide it. It just is going to be what it's going to be. That's called being Italian. Can't hide that stuff. Well, he pulls over. I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to get talking to. And he starts talking to himself, and he starts praying. And this is what he said. Lord, put me in the right spirit. Because right now I'm not in the right spirit, and I'm going to have a bad day if I don't get there. God, fix it right now within me. Now, we can say that and we can pray that over ourselves. If you feel yourself getting in a bad attitude, get alone and say, Lord, put me in the right spirit so I can have that inner peace that I want to have. If you're arguing with somebody, get alone by yourself and say, Lord, I feel like the devil's coming out in that person. Help me not to take that bait. You know, a lot of times the devil's just baiting you to get into the flesh. A lot of times that's what it is. The devil's baiting you. It's just like when you fish. What are we going to do? We're going to put that bait on that pole, and we're going to send it out there, and we're going to see what we get. That's what the devil does. He'll send just the right little person that he knows we're going to have a problem with, and he'll bait us. And a lot of times, we take that bait, and before we know it, there goes our peace for the rest of the day, sometimes the rest of the week, sometimes the rest of the month, sometimes for the rest of our lives. So, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So here's Jesus, and he's telling the disciples, look, my whole reason why I'm here, the whole reason why I came down to this earth, was to be crucified and then raised back from the dead in 3 days. Well, anytime you tell people what your purpose is, you're going to have one person or more that's going to have something to say about that. Right? Have you ever been there? Everybody has something to say about everybody else's life, but no direction with their own. Million-dollar revelation. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So here's Peter, and he's rebuking Jesus. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. He loves Peter. The devil will come at you with people that you love the most. The devil will come at you with people that you love the most. Why? Because that's the best way to get your peace. That's why. The devil's not going to send just any old Joe that you don't care about, that you don't have an emotional connection to, that you don't love. The devil will do it through people that you love the most. Why? Because that's the most effective way to do it. When you're trying to take somebody out, how are you going to do it? You're going to do it with what they love the most. If you've lost your peace and it's because of the people that you love the most and it's regarding them, look here. Give it to God. Shut your mouth. Shut it off. Sever that. Stop. Get a hold of yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus over that situation. And don't think that you're dealing with them. You're dealing with the spirit. And there's probably a bad spirit on you too. By the time I get done arguing with people I love, Johnny, I'm not in the right spirit either. You ever done that? Like, ooh, I said that. Yep, I got to stand behind it. I said it. That's called pride. And he says, get behind me, Satan. He just called Satan right out. He saw what the devil was doing. He saw that he was doing it through a person that he loved very much. And he didn't get on to Peter, but he addressed Satan right there using Peter. And he said, get behind me, Satan. And then he said something that is very important. He said, you are a stumbling block to me. How do you get your inner peace? Realize what is a stumbling block for you in your life. Realize who and what and where your people, places, and things that are a stumbling block for you. If you are around someone and they are constantly making you question yourself, well, maybe I'm not a good person. Well, maybe I can't do that. Yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe that's not a good fit for me. Maybe I can't do that job. Maybe I can't have that thing that God said. You know, if you're going to get around somebody and all they're going to do is fill you full of doubt, that's going to be a real stumbling block for you. A lot of what is going to make you stumble is who you're around and who you let have access to your ears. God told me in the beginning of January, Kelly, your ears belong to me. Now you shut out everything that's getting in your ear besides me, because we don't have time for that this year.
Amen.
If you want to move forward, you get them little silly voices out of your head. And if they're people, you get them out of your head and you just decide you're moving on. But he said, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. If you're lacking inner peace, figure out what's a stumbling block for you. Figure it out and get it out. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 31. And I gave this verse to Melissa probably about a year and a half ago or a year ago, somewhere around in there. Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin to look at verse 31. And here's Jesus, and he's talking to Simon, and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. There's lots of times where you've lost your inner peace. And it's because there's a sifting going on. Satan's trying to sift the heck out of you. One day, Melissa Helton called me. She was crying. When y'all call me and you're crying, I want to fix whatever's wrong. If we need to go beat somebody up, I want to do that. Like, I want everybody to be good. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be whole. I want everybody to have a good life. So one of my favorite people calls me, crying, broken, upset, saying, oh, Pastor Kelly, I'm facing this, this, and this. And before I could even get a hold of my mouth, Jesus had done talked through my mouth, and he said, you're being sifted. You're being sifted. And that's an uncomfortable place to be. You're going to have to find that inner peace, and you're going to have to keep it, because the sifting process is painful. I've asked God here lately, Lord, why are you allowing me to go through what I'm going through? He said, Kelly, you're being sifted. You're being sifted. Don't lose who you are. Don't forget who you are and realize I'm going to make you better than you've ever been. You're being sifted right now. Look here. The devil wishes to sift each and every single one of us. A lot of times we say, when it rains, it pours. When you have one problem, it seems like 10 of them just come down and plop in your lap. I get it. That's life. Look here. Find that inner peace and tell yourself, peace, you're coming right back into this heart. I'm troubled, but God is bigger than any trouble. God is bigger than anything I face. God is coming through, and not only is he coming through, but he's coming through right on time. If you're worried about things in your life, say, Lord, I have all that I need. In Jesus' name, I have all that I need. Aunt Patty over here, she asked me to pray for her Wednesday night. I don't think you'll mind me saying this. I was trying to get in the office, and I could see she just teared up, and she said, I just need you to pray. I could tell she was really troubled. Her blood pressure was all out of whack. How many of you have ever had your blood pressure out of whack? That's scary. She said, I need you to pray for me. And I began to pray. Well, what did God do? Well, he began to move. If you'll pray, he'll move. Don't give up your peace. Keep your peace. Keep your peace. How many of you have ever played Clue? I'm trying to get into a new phase of my life, and it's called enjoying my life. It's different for me. So, Cindy, what I did was I got a whole bunch of board games to play with these boys. One of them was Clue, and I got Clue because I have a childhood memory of playing Clue with my mother, and she made it so fun that I love Clue to this day. We got these cards, and we got these boys. Well, my boys are blabbermouths, both of them. I think that's a genetic thing in our family. It comes from dad's side, not mom's. Mom's very quiet. But both of your sons are grand. They're blabbermouths. And so we go around, and we're trying to figure out who done it, where they did it, and what they did it with. Both of my boys, almost at the same time, tyranny, they both get their cards, and they just start laying them out. And we're going, you just ruined the whole game. You just showed us all your cards. Look here. Keep your peace. Don't give your peace to the devil. He's the enemy. Keep that peace. Keep it. God gave it to you. How many, somebody's ever given you something and you say, you know, I'm going to keep that because that person gave that to me. I've got 3 bracelets from my Grandma B. I keep them. They're the ugliest things you'd ever seen. I'm keeping them, and I'll wear them because she gave them to me. God gave you peace. Keep it. Keep it. He gave it to you. It's a gift. He gave it to you, and he left it to you. Keep it. When you feel that stuff going on, I've had to just stop. One of the most powerful things that you will ever do in your life is just stop. Don't go any further until you get a hold of that situation with the Lord. I found myself here recently, Melissa, and I just said, God, I'm stopping right now. I will not go one more ounce in this situation without you. I've gotten in the flesh. I've said too much. I've gotten myself angry. I've gotten myself bitter. I've gotten all these things. But God, right now, I'm going to make a power move. I'm going to stop. I'm going to just stop. Guess what? The peace of God that passes all understanding started seeping in. Started seeping in the other day. I noticed it. How many of you can notice the presence of God when it flows over you? I felt that sweet, sweet aroma of that peace coming to me. And I said, Lord, is this my peace coming back? I've had to shut up for so long, but thank you, Lord. It's really like just a couple days, but that's a long time for me. See, God will give you, he'll send that peace back. He'll say, you know what, you gave that up, but I'm going to give it back to you right now. Receive the peace. Receive it. I gave it to you. There isn't anything that you're going through that God's going to let you come up losing. There's things that we think, well, how's that going to work? Look here, when it's time for you to know, God will make you know, and he's going to make you victorious. He'll put you at the top. He'll make things happen for you he wouldn't make happen for nobody else just to show you how much he loves you. He'll give you favor when you didn't deserve it. He'll give you provision when you didn't expect it. That's how he is. That's how he works. There isn't any person, there isn't any situation that is worth losing your peace over. Not one. When you're dealing with others, pray for them. Pray for them. Realize that most of the time you're dealing with a spirit. They're going through something. They may be pointing some anger at you, but they're going through something themselves. What they need for you is to not take that bait. Don't get yourself wrapped up in some feud. God didn't put you in a place of turmoil. He put you in a place of peace and victory. Stay there. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's always scheming. And he's always trying to figure out how he can get your peace. That's what he's always doing. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There you have it right there. When you want to argue with people, get nasty with people, give them tit for tat, do something mean to them and say something mean about them just because they did it to you, your struggle is not with that person. Your struggle is with that spirit that wants to dwell in that person, and they need somebody to be a Christian and say, God, in Jesus' name, I take authority right now over what's going on inside of that person's life. And in Jesus' name, I choose to not be offended and irritated and vengeful and spiteful. And God, I choose not to defend myself, because God, what I'm going to do right now is praise the heck for that person. But God, I'm going to shut my mouth when it comes to talking about them, and I'm just going to pray for them right now. See, they don't need you to sit there and stir up World War III with them. What they need is for you to get on your knees and pray for them, because there's something attached themselves to them that ain't good. How many of you have ever been around a person you could tell they got something going on with them? You can tell it. If you get down and nasty on their level, guess what? It's going to get off on you. You'll be the next one showing your butt. That's a term here. That awful woman pastor, she said the word but. Well, I don't make any apologies about that. We'll preach right where we're living. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. There are spiritual forces of evil trying to attach themselves to your life. They want to steal your peace. Don't let them do it. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, it's not if you're going to struggle, it's when. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. There's been times where we have not been able to stand our ground. There's been times recently where I couldn't stand my ground. You know what, my brother Larry, what God's been ministering to me is, Kelly, you didn't stand your ground, and your ground was in a high place. And what you did was you stooped down to get ugly with that person. You stooped down to defend yourself. You stooped down to do what you did. See, we don't have to be that way. And God will bless you when you choose not to be. So that when the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground. God pulled you out of so many things. He put you on a high place. Don't get down for nobody. You stay there. You stay blessed. You stay peaceful. You stay prosperous. You stay that way. Why? Because look here, if you want somebody else to be blessed, you got to stay blessed yourself. If you want that person to stop acting up, you got to stop acting up with them. So that you may stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. There are times where, Sherry, I haven't had a peace, and it's because there were things left for me to still do. The Word says when you've done everything to stand, then stand. There were times where, Angel, I came to the end of it, and I said, God, I don't have a peace, but I have done everything that I can do. I found myself saying that not too long ago, about a week ago. I said, God, I've done everything I know to do. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to shut up. I'm going to just stand. God, if there's anything else I need to do and I'm unaware of it, God, show it to me. Sometimes our biggest struggle is to just stand. To not defend ourselves. To not let someone steal our peace. To realize when somebody's struggling and they're coming at us and they're having a bad day and they're being moody and they're being all these things. Sometimes it's hard to just say, you know what, Lord, I think there's something going on with that person. They don't seem happy today. God, help them in Jesus' name. Don't give your peace up to nobody, for nobody. Keep it. Last place for me, John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me, y'all say in me, you may have peace. You're not going to have peace in anything else, but you can have it in Christ. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Look here. In this life, you're going to have some troubles. Troubles will come, but guess what? Troubles will also go. But take heart. I have overcome the world. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, what I want to encourage you with, the last thought I want to give you is that just as Christ overcame this world, you can too. You can overcome what you're going through. You can overcome what's stressing you out. You can overcome the family trouble. You can overcome your problem that you feel like is so big you don't know how you're going to make it. See, you can overcome that. Keep your peace. Sit back. Allow God to work. Allow God to move. Give Him room to. Sometimes God can't work if we're messing with it. A lot of times with my kids, they'll be messing with something. They've broken one of their toys. They've done something. And I'm trying to help them fix it. And it's in their hand, and I'm trying to get in their hand. And I just finally say, give it to me. Give it to me. I cannot mess with it when you're touching it. Just give it to me. And I get it. And I put it back together, and I fix it. I feel like for some of you, God's saying, if you'll just give it to me. If you'll give it to me, and if you'll receive that peace, it's done, it's fixed. If you're struggling today for that inner peace, if you've just felt like a tug of war going on inside of you, and you can't seem to keep your peace in that situation, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because see, God wants you to leave here with a new sense that you know what, God is taking care of the thing that I am most concerned about, the struggle, the weariness of it. God's meeting you right where you're standing right now. I'm going to give you a moment. If you're at your house right now and this is for you, I'm going to ask you to get up off of that couch and act like the word is so. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the anointing from this message. God, for every person that hears it in the future, Lord, I thank you that it grows. And God, right now, you're meeting every person where they're at. And God, you're turning things around right now. Lord, the problems that we're facing, God, you already have resolved. So right now, in Jesus' name, I speak to the peace that passes all understanding, and I tell it to go into the hearts of all of these people right now, God. They're troubled about something. They've placed it in their heart, what the concern is. And God, you have met them and you have restored peace to them right now. And God, I ask that you'd help us to keep it. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, there.